I'm going to ask Patrick and Sarah Brown to come if they would. As you know, Patrick and Sarah have been through a very difficult issue in their lives. And at the funeral of their son Noah, they stood before us and declared great truth and confidence in their Lord. And since that time, God has remained faithful to them. And He has taken them down a path of an interesting one that is teaching them the reality of life is that sometimes we can say things and know them to be true, but our heart doesn't always feel those things. And sometimes there's a little deficit there, and our heart kind of needs to catch up with where our head is at. And I ask if they would just share tonight where God is taking them and where they're at right now. So, Patrick and Sarah, if you would, please.
No, I just want to say something. You know, I do speak for those of you who don't know me, but Sarah does a far better job than me, so I'll let her take it away.
As you said, Jeff said, we are Patrick and Sarah Brown, and we have three children, Casey and Ryan. Never leave your child home with your husband and a Sharpie. And Noah. Noah was born a month early on July 28th, 2005, and after birth he had some respiratory distress and one of his lungs collapsed, and he spent the first 2 weeks of his life in the hospital. After he came home, we had the stress of Ryan, our three-year-old, deciding he did not like his new brother, and he spent every waking minute determined to absolutely destroy him. And we had to work through that with some help from Sharon Myers. And once we did that, we now had the stress of Ryan liking Noah a little bit too much and deciding that he would do every bath, every feeding, every changing, every diaper change, and hold him and carry him up and downstairs by corners, everything. So that was a little bit of a stressful time keeping Ryan and Noah apart. Patrick was in his final semester of nursing school that fall, and I had a boss who was absolutely making my life miserable. We were scrambling with our schedules, and we spent life treading water, just trying to keep up. Patrick's mom went into a nursing home. It was just a difficult time. And I remember on December 6th of this year, going down into the basement, doing some laundry, and just started crying. I'm like, you know what, Lord, I cannot do this schedule anymore. I just cannot do it. That very next evening, Noah went to bed, as he usually did, crying because he had some reflux. We felt he was in pain a lot of the time. We weren't sure. We thought it was due to the reflux. But he had been to his well visit the day before. Pediatrician said everything was fine. And we weren't too worried about his development, although we did have a nagging suspicion something wasn't quite right. But there was nothing wrong enough to warrant testing. The next morning, Patrick was up taking one of his final exams up in Port Huron. I was rushing to get the kids ready out the door for school, made Noah a bottle, and I'm like, oh man, thank you, he slept in so long. Well, I went over and I looked in his bed, and I knew instantly when I looked down. I knew he had died. He was so just still, and I watched him for a few minutes, like, come on, your back has to move a little bit. Come on. And it didn't. And I put my hands around him, tried to lift him up a little bit, got about 2 inches off the bed and put him right back down. He was so cold and stiff, and I just couldn't stand that feel. Thankfully, he was on his belly, so I did not see his face. A couple minutes later, the ambulance arrived, followed by detective after detective, forensic experts, medical examiners. Like, there was like 10 people in our house. Thankfully, Pastor Bob and Pastor Jeff also were there. But these medical examiners and all these people, they were trying to keep me out of the room where Noah was, and Patrick out too, and, you know, we're thinking, did they think we did something wrong? They spent the next 2.5 hours questioning me and Patrick and my wonderful mom who had by that time arrived. It was absolutely exhausting, and maybe I've watched too many Lifetime movies, but I spent the whole time thinking, all right, am I crying enough? Do they think we did something wrong? Should I hyperventilate a little bit? Should I pretend to faint? I mean, are they going to take Casey and Ryan away? What do they think that we did? The worst moment was when they took him from our house. Noah had never been away from me, Patrick, or my mom. He'd never been with anybody else ever in his 4 months of life. And now they were taking my little boy without his blankets, his diaper bag, his car seat, nothing. And they were putting him in a big, white, cold van, and they were taking him to the morgue, where I knew that he would just be in some stainless steel box. And as his parents, the knowledge of that was absolutely overwhelming. The moments didn't get any better the next day. We were sitting at a funeral home, planning our son's funeral, and instead of picking out, you know, clothes for him to wear when he would romp around the house, we were picking out clothes that he would wear to be buried in. That was about 7.5 weeks ago, and we're still haunted by that morning. I continually relive that moment of looking down and seeing him. Patrick has to drive, he was in the car when I told him an hour away, and he had to drive an hour back knowing one of his children had died. He rarely drives that car anymore. It's just, every time one of us leaves the house, it's a, oh no, are they going to come back kind of feeling. There's a lot of questions. Why did God take our baby? Why our baby? Why not some baby who was not going to be cared for and loved and taken to church and, you know, shown the love of Jesus? But in the midst of those very awful memories, God has proved faithful and given us many lessons that we all can only anticipate will continue. But because the grief process, it's very illogical, it's very 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, it's very scattered, we want to share a few of the lessons we've learned. We can't really expound on any of them, give you scripture and really, you know, unpack them at all because we're limited on time. But we wanted to give you just an inkling of some of the things that God's showing us. And if you ever have any, you ever want to ask us about any of this or anything, please feel free. I know some of you are uncomfortable talking to us. What are we going to say to them? It seems weird, but please talk to us if you so want to, so choose to. The first lesson, utter dependence on God. Patrick and I are pretty strong. We're not whiners. We're not, you know, we're faced with adversity. We're the pick yourself up by your bootstraps kind of people. But Noah's death was like anything we'd ever experienced, ever. And we were dependent on God for just even our basic functioning. For a long time, Patrick didn't have this problem, I couldn't even pray for a long time. And so we were even dependent on God and the Holy Spirit to give us words that we just simply didn't even have to pray. Second one, authenticity is the only way to go. Several days after Noah had died, there was a Barbara Walters special on TV talking about heaven. And the next day there was a radio program on where the announcer was talking. He's like, man, all these, like, the Hindus, the Jews, the Protestants, the Mormons, everybody, they all think they have the only way. And Patrick came home, we were talking about that at dinner, and I'm like, what if we've got the wrong way? What if we've based our whole life on a lie, Noah isn't really in heaven, and it's just something that we believed in because we've gone to church all our lives? And I got to tell you that was the absolute darkest moment of my life. It was even darker than the moment when we did found Noah, to feel that moment of no hope. I went up to my room, and I just got in bed, pulled the covers over my head, and for the first time I prayed, and I said, God, I have to know that you are here. I have to believe that you're here, because I can't function through the rest of my life any other way. And of course, Casey and Ryan came up and jumped on the bed, and I couldn't really finish. But that evening was church, and music is especially hard. I don't know if anybody else who has experienced that. It's very hard to come to church and hear music and sing music, and I'm in practicing, and I had to leave for a minute. Pastor Bob's walking down the hallway, and I'm like, do I tell Pastor Bob about this? He might, you know, I'm having questions about my faith. Is he going to think I'm, you know, but you know what, I'm like, and I did, and he and Kathy talked to me for quite some time, and I said, Pastor Bob, I feel like a hypocrite. Here I am, I'm speaking at my son's funeral, and here I'm questioning what I believe. And he said, sometimes in these kind of situations, your faith will carry you through, and your emotions will follow later. And that was a big turning point in my life, and where authenticity comes in. Bill Hybels, he's a pastor of a mega church, and he wrote a book called Who You Are When No One's Looking. And we had this fear inside, and I was afraid to tell Pastor Bob, but I did, and it was a turning point. And if there's something hiding in your life that you're afraid to tell somebody, tell a pastor, tell an elder, tell somebody, because they can help you get beyond whatever that issue is in your life. So authenticity is kind of my soapbox, sorry. Following God is a choice. Patrick and I have committed our lives to God, but did I feel like loving God after he let my baby die? Did I feel he was good? Did I feel that he was in our corner? Did I feel like thanking him? No, 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 no. We did not feel like any of that. But does God love us? Yeah, the Bible says God loves us. Do we need to thank God? We sure do. And is God there when it hurts? Yes. We want to live life like Joseph in the Bible. And there's another book. It's called God Meant It for Good. That's a book on the life of Joseph. And talks about how he was faced with many trials. He was wrongly accused. He was left for dead, thrown in prison. But he continued to live faithfully no matter what he felt. And he let God be God, and God gave him a life more than he could ever imagine in his brain. And we are hoping that God will do that for us too. Tragedy shows us what kind of friend we should be. We've really developed a sensitivity for how to talk to other people who have had similar issues. We've had tremendous prayer support, and that's also helped us learn how to be a better friend. When we have a prayer request, Patrick's awesome at this. I am learning to be better at this. When we get a prayer request, how diligently and fervently do we pray for that person? I've had people come up to me and said, I prayed for you guys, every day. I'm like, every day? I've had a lot of people who are out there praying, and that was really a good lesson for us when we have a prayer request, how we should be fervent for other people. Seek wise and biblically based counsel. There's a book that my brother, he's a pastor, gave to me. It's by John MacArthur, and Safe in the Arms of God. And it talks about how all the questions that parents have after a baby dies. And it's been striking because there's a woman I met whose baby was born 10 days before Noah and died 3 days afterward. And she's a Christian too, but she's had these people give her these books about her baby's like an angel floating around with wings and stuff. And just she's gotten just some wrong information. Our babies are not angels. Our babies are up in heaven as they're fully glorified selves worshiping God. And I've also had one of my mom's family friends said, well, you know what? I've been learning about what Patrick and Sarah have been going through because I've read Mitch Albom's The Five People You Meet in Heaven. And I'm like, to steal a phrase from Pastor Bob, good night, nurse. I mean, there are books out there that can really be helpful, and that's not one of them. We've also really come to appreciate, you know, in churches, you go to an ABF and you're with people largely your own age. We've really developed appreciation for people that are a little bit older and way wiser than us, and we just want to single out the Danglers who went through an experience much worse than us because their son was much older when he passed away, but they've been such an encouragement to us, and we've been so thankful for them. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to skip one and go on to sometimes you get answers, sometimes you don't. The medical examiner pretty much determined, okay, this is SIDS, and, you know, before he even did anything. And we had to accept that, you know, logically, there's a reason why my baby died. My baby just didn't stop breathing for no reason and die. But even after, that's what it came back ruled as, and we're like, we had to accept that. We had to say, you know what, there's no answer, we're not going to get it. But then we were sitting down with the medical examiner going over it, and he's like, oh, yeah, there's this one little thing in it, and Noah tested positive for a very, very rare metabolic disorder, and we're going to be spending some time at Children's Hospital. We found someone who's going to investigate that for us. So God may give us some answers as to why he died. He may not, but either way, we need to be faithful and accept his plan. Steal something from Pastor Bob. I heard him say recently, our perceived needs are not always our real needs. When we were dating, we thought, oh, 3 kids. Yeah, let's have 3 kids. We'll do it. And we thought, hey, 3 kids, a dog, an SUV, you know, right jobs. It was a pretty nice plan, pretty nice little life we got, you know, for ourselves. But God is smarter than us. And like, you know, you say, duh, of course God is smarter than us. But have Patrick and I been living that, or we been, you know, limiting God? And also, if we're Christians, our lives are not about us. And Max Licato even wrote a book, I think the title is something like, It's Not About You. Our lives are not about us, and we're trying to be open to different things that God might be doing. One of them is we're feeling led in we're going to be using Noah's Memorial Fund to pursue an international adoption later in 2006. So hopefully we'll be taking a trip to Kiev later in 2006. And so that might be one of the things that God's going to do in our lives. There may be other things we haven't even thought of yet. And finally, why are we here? We became Christians a long time ago, but the process of giving your life over to God is a continual effort, and we're here to glorify God. And if we accept that our sole purpose in life is to bring glory to God, then we have to accept the way God accomplishes that and be thankful. Even through something as hideous and crummy and something that we never, ever would have wanted, like our little baby dying. So are we thankful that Noah died? I can't say that we're at that point yet. But we can see some of the character God's building us, and we can be thankful for building a stronger marriage, a deeper faith, a huge and bright hope, and an even stronger eternal peace perspective than we've had before. And much of that is due thanks to all of you and the people that have been praying for us. Whether you prayed for us once or you're one of those faithful that are prayer warriors for us and have prayed every day, your ministry of prayer to us is allowing us to share Christ at our workplaces and beyond, and is enabling us to become, hopefully, what we hope is bright lights for Christ in the world. Thanks.